you, Lord. Oh, but I can't make it. Oh, without you. Yeah. Oh, without you. Oh, but I know I can't. Lord, I just can't make it. Oh, without where? Oh, without you. Oh, but I know I just can't make it. Oh, without you, Lord. Oh, there was a time. Oh, in my life, I was living in sin. Yes, I was. Without Christ, Lord, it made me start to wonder what I did wrong to make my way so hard. Oh, without you. Oh, without you. Lord, I just can't make it. Oh, without without you. Oh, without you. I know. I can't. Lord, I just can't make it. Oh, without you, Lord. God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps upon the sea, and he rides upon the storm. God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And the Lord will make a way out of no way. I heard somebody say, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And somebody asked, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And if God fights your battles, you can't lose. He is the King of glory. I want to call your attention this morning to the gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. And I want to commence the reading at verse number 1, Luke chapter 2. Beginning the reading at verse number 1. You have that, say amen. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made with Cyrenius, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, making room for the good. Making room for the good. Now, the word good is a simple word, yet it is a simple word with great significance. We deal with good every day. We welcome the good and we would like to chase away the bad because we want good things to happen for us in our lives. Now, as I use the word good in this lesson, I'm talking about that which is beneficial, that which is healthy and sound, that which is virtuous. And the Bible has a lot to say about good. In fact, the Bible is called the Good Book. And the Good Book will keep you from sin. But sin also will keep you from the Good Book. When God was evaluating his creation, he continually looked at what he had done and continually said it was good. Amen. In Psalms 23, David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." In Psalms 100, he said, "The Lord is good." In the book of Matthew, the Bible said, "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works." Titus 3:8 says, "Be careful to maintain good works." In the book of Romans chapter 2, it talks about the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Romans chapter 12, it says, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." James says in James 4:17, "For he that knoweth to do good and to do it not, it is sin." So good is something that we deal with on a consistent basis. But I'm afraid sometimes people's lives can be so crowded and so full of things, they don't have room in their lives for the good. Now, in this text, we read where the Savior of the world came, was coming into the world for all of us, for all of our benefit. He came into the world for our good. Can you say amen to that? And even though he came into the world for our good, when they tried to find lodging at the inn, there was no room for the Savior. So I want to talk about two things with you this morning in this lesson. I want to talk about, number one, when the Savior of the world was born, there was no room. And secondly, I want to talk about, do you have room for the good? Amen. Now, this is what's called the holiday season. And, of course, if we're not very careful, we will eat more than we intend to do. And then we will have to deal with a thing called unintended consequences. Amen. We didn't intend for this to happen, but it happened anyway. Amen. And, of course, during this holiday season, people will be thinking about our Savior. People will be talking about our Savior. They'll be thinking about our Savior. And some will even be singing about our Savior during this holiday season. But unfortunately, when the holiday season is over, people will go back to business as usual. They will go back to the cares of the world and the issues of life, and they will not have room for Jesus. It's sad to say that even some people in the church of God don't have room for the Savior. Now, when we look at this text in Luke chapter 2, Luke describes to us the events surrounding the birth of our Lord and how that his parents went up to be taxed. And in verse number 4, Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He was a descendant of David. And he was there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. And the text says that she was great with child. And she was very pregnant, amen. And the time was coming near when she was going to have to deliver that baby. But it's interesting that even though Mary was going to have a special baby, and I would imagine every mother thinks that her baby is special. There ain't nothing wrong with that, amen. But Mary was going to have the most unique baby in the history of the world, because Mary's baby is my Lord and my Savior. Mary's baby is the reason why I'm going to heaven one day. Is that right? But Mary, she bore the burden of her pregnancy with dignity and with joy. You know, sometimes life may put burdens on you, but your attitude determines how you carry the burden. Now, you can carry the burden with a frown, and somebody said a frown is a smile turned upside down, amen. Or you could wear that burden with a smile. But Mary was carrying that burden that the Lord had placed upon her life. And sometimes the Lord places burdens on your life. Certain responsibilities and obligations that the Lord places upon all of our lives. But Mary is exemplary because she's carrying this child with such dignity and with such joy. Do we serve the Lord with gladness? And whatever he says, you ought to serve the Lord with gladness. You ought to come before his presence with singing. You ought to sing like you mean it. Is that right? Because the Lord he's good. And the time came, brothers and sisters, that Mary had to have her baby. But there was no room for them. They could not find lodging in the inn. And so isn't it interesting that the one who made the world could not find a room in the world? Isn't it interesting that the one who was so high humbled himself? Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that the Savior of the world was born in a stable? Because there wasn't no room for him. Mary had her baby in a stable where the horses and livestock are. And when she had her baby, the text say that she wrapped that baby in swaddling clothes, which means she wrapped that baby in a blanket or long, narrow strips of cloth. And then she wrapped that baby in swaddling clothes, and then she laid that baby in a manger. You know what a manger is? A manger is a feeding trough for livestock. Look at it. The Savior of the world, wrapped in swaddling clothes and didn't have no new baby crib. Didn't have a bassinet. But they lay him, Lord have mercy, in a manger. And the reason being because it was no room for him in the inn. You know, it's something we can learn from the circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth. And we can learn that there are some people in this world who have no room for Jesus in their lives. Is that all right? They don't have room for Jesus. Some people, even in the body of Christ, who walk with Christ, been faithful, turn their back on the Lord and walk with him no longer. And you know why they don't walk with him any longer? You know why people quit the church and don't walk with him any longer? Because they don't have room for him. They don't have room for the good. There are some people so busy in life, life so crowded, got so much to do. They don't have time to come to the house of God to give him worship on the first day of the week. I got to go to work. I understand you have to go to work, but we owe God some things. And so they don't have time. Their lives are so crowded, they don't have time to come and worship. Some people's lives are so crowded, so much is on their mind, the issues of life, the challenges of life, they don't have time to confess their sins. Well, I plan to get around, but I'm kind of busy now. Amen. Holy Ghost, I think I'm going to need some help with this. Is that all right? They don't have time to because their lives are so crowded and some people are afflicted with the disease of TB. And I don't mean tuberculosis, just too busy. Too busy because there's no room for Jesus. Some people lives are so crowded and so full, they don't have time to even come and be saved. Let me tell you something. If your life is so crowded and so full, you don't have time for Jesus. You got too much in your life. Amen. You ought to make some room. We ought not be like that inn when it come down to our hearts. We ought to all have a place in our hearts for Jesus. We ought to all have time for Jesus. We got to make room for the good. A lot of stuff in your life. You got a lot of stuff on your mind. I'm sure you do. Amen. But don't let your career get in the place of way of your salvation. Huh? Don't let your significant other get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. Is that all right? In other words, make room for the good. Here's the second and final idea. And that is, do you have room for the good? You know, brothers and sisters, life is a process. Living is a process. And God sent us one day at a time. But you know, those days add up, don't they? And in the process of life, we all have to use what I call a spiritual math. In the process of life, we have to use spiritual addition and spiritual subtraction. We have to subtract from our lives things that are taken away from our lives and defeating us. Get for me, Brother Hillary, Ephesians 4 and verse 22. There are some things we have to take off. Amen. Some things we have to subtract. What does it say, Brother Hillary?
That you put off concerning
that
the
former. There are some things. If I look at my life, I may just be too crowded and I don't even have time to spend with my children. My life is so crowded that I don't have time to do the thing that I really need to do. And one thing about it, brothers and sisters, we're going to come to the end of life, and we're either going to look back with regret or with joy. Don't let your life become so crowded. Amen. And if you look at your life and you see where it's just too crowded, then you got to use God's subtraction, his spiritual subtraction formula. Let's see what that says, Brother Hibber. Read it.
That you put off concerning
The former conversation,
the old man.
So I got to take off some things. Some things I got to take out of my life so Christ could come into my life. You put off concerning the old man. That's subtraction. Read.
Which is corrupt.
Which is corrupt.
According to the deceitful
lust. And deceitful lusts are misleading desires. I can have desires in my life that are misleading me. Are y'all listening? Amen. And then you have to use God's spiritual math or addition. Let's go now to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. What does that say, my brother? Read it.
And besides this.
And beside this.
Giving all diligence.
Giving all diligence.
Add to your
there
faith.
There it is. Add. You see the connection, church? Some things we got to subtract. Some things we got to add. Is that right? Is that right? Isn't it true sometimes you clean out your closet and get rid of some stuff? Because you got too much clutter in your life. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Is that right? And so you gotta take some of that stuff out of your life because you find there's no room for Jesus at the end. Read, Brother Hillary.
Add to your faith.
Add to your
faith.
Virtue. So in other words, I've got to use this spiritual subtraction and addition. I gotta take some things out of my life and make room for the good things. And then I've got to add something, anything in my life that's defeating me. I want to tell you something. There are some things in my life that's making it kind of hard for me. Say amen if you can. Some stuff I need to take out. And some stuff I need to add in. Is that right? That's why I'm buying books, reading the Bible, listening to tape, listening to the CDs. Because I'm constantly trying to get better. Aren't you? Aren't you constantly trying to get better? If you're following Jesus, you've got to constantly be trying to get better. Is that right? So there are some things we have to take out. Don't have your life so crowded you can't give God the things he deserves. Render unto Caesar. Give your employee a good job, but don't put him before God. Don't put nobody before God. Let God be all in all. If you worship the only true and living God and you serve him, then have room for him. On Sunday morning, if you're not, I used to use this word providentially hinder, but I don't use that word no more because Brother Smith taught me that. Because if I say I am providentially hindered, because God is the God of providence. Providence means that God provides. So God is never going to providentially hinder me from doing anything that is in accordance with his holy and perfect will. So I gotta make space for Bible reading. I gotta make space for prayer. Let me tell you something. And if you're not praying at least three times a day, you got too much stuff in your life. Hello? See, I'm not telling you not to watch TV. I ain't telling you not to watch All My Children and oh, they gone, ain't they? I forgot about that. Yeah, they ain't, you can't watch them now, no way. Well, General Hospital then. Yeah. They still on that, Hillary? Yeah, you do. Go on, say it. Go on, tell it. I don't know. I know what you're trying to do. Amen. But it's got to be some space in my life for prayer, or else my life is just too crowded. That end was so crowded. Jesus, Lord, have mercy. That is an awesome concept. The great I am who came from heaven's adorations to earth's agony. From heaven's coronation to earth's crucifixion. Was born in a stable. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a feeding trough. Because the inn was just too full. And maybe I didn't intend to, but I placed him in a feeding trough myself because my life just too full. Amen. Let me give you some things that you ought to add, and I'm going to be finished. Here's some good things I want to ask you. Do you have room for patience? Number one, do you have room for, I know we talk about don't pray for patience, but patience is a good thing. It's a good thing. In fact, let me tell you something. You've got to have patience to go to heaven. The Bible says in Luke 21:17, in the King James says, in your patience you possess your soul. It literally means in your patience you save your soul. A lot of relationships get in trouble because people are so impatient. Remember the story of the vase? I ain't always been this pretty. Mm-hmm. That right? Yeah. So you got to be patient. And the Bible says in Romans 2:7, it says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Yeah. Do you have room for patience? Are you continually finding yourself frustrated? If you are a believer in the true God, frustration should not dominate your life, even though things are not just the way you would like it. Anybody here got the perfect life this morning? Are there any things in your life you would like to change if you could change? Is that right? But in the meantime, what about your state of mind? In your patience, what do? You possess or you save your soul. Is your life so crowded you don't have room for patience? And then here's number two. Is your life so crowded, do you have room for spiritual growth? It's a good thing to grow in the grace and the knowledge. I think most of us could say that, how many can say that I just appreciate Jesus even more as I grow in my understanding about my Lord and my Savior? And so spiritual growth is a good thing. You see, God loves babies. But God does not intend for babies to stay in the nursery for the rest of their lives. God loves first graders. But at some point, you got to get out of first grade. Is that right? This is why, and when people don't grow spiritually in the church, it creates problems. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I wanted to talk unto you as unto spiritual. But he said, you're yet carnal. Listen, the people had not grown beyond division. The people had not grown beyond strife. The people had not grown beyond envy and jealousy. At some point, I got to get over envy. Now, just keeping it real, everybody, I'm sure sometime feel some envy. Well, let me look out the window here then. Look out the window here. So I can't get no help in here. Everybody experiences, but you got to grow beyond envy. If you are a follower of God, why we got to always be arguing and fighting? If we follow God, make room for peace. Spiritual growth. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I got to grow up. I got to make room for growth. I got to grow as a preacher. I got to grow as a leader. I got to grow as a Christian. Amen. Here's number three. Make room for encouragement. Now this gets pretty deep. Let me. Do you have room in your life for encouragement? Is your life so crowded you can't give any encouragement? Don't withhold encouragement from people who are making a positive contribution. And you know the people deserve some encouragement. Is my life so crowded, I can't encourage nobody? So I don't want to be so full that I'm not encouraging my own children, my own wife, my own brethren, my own sisters in Jesus. If somebody's doing a good job, why not encourage them? If somebody is making a positive contribution, why my life got to be so crowded I can't give or withhold the encouragement that somebody needs? But here's another dimension of it. Don't have your life so full you can't receive encouragement when somebody is sending it your way. You did a good job. Oh, child, I ain't done nothing. Why not say thank you? Because let me tell you something. When you do a good job and somebody encourages you, that builds your self-esteem. That builds your morale. That builds you up. People need encouragement. Is my life so full I can't take the time to encourage these young people? Don't just talk about the fact she made some bad grades. Talk about the good grades she made. Amen. My life's so full. And let me get real deep. Brother Hillary, let's run over to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Church, do you realize we come together as a church for many reasons, but do you not know one of the most important reasons we assemble on the first day of the week is to encourage each other? Amen. Let me have it read from the Bible.
And let us consider one another.
Let us consider one another.
To provoke unto love.
To provoke unto love.
And to good works.
And to good. You have the NIV?
I do.
Now read that same passage from the NIV. I think I'll make it even more plain. Provoke means to stimulate, to encourage. So you're here today, and let me tell you something. You shouldn't come to the house of God on a given Sunday to the assembly of God, and you don't get any encouragement. Amen. To keep living the Christian life. You're doing a good job. Brother, I'm going to help you. Sister, I'm going to help you. Amen. Read about it. Hear what it say.
And let us consider how
let us consider what?
How we may spur one another.
How we may spur
one another.
You ever seen sometime on the football field? The guy is running. And Brandon, he gets 25 yards. And a guy come behind him and knock the ball loose. and he fumbles. And everybody's, oh! Oh! He done fumbled the ball. Look at him. Amen. And Earl, when the guy got to come back to the sideline, he coming back real slow. Now, he didn't intend to fumble it. The coach got two choices. He can read him the right act, or he can say, that's all right, it's going to be all right. Amen. Because think about it, let's be real. In the game of life, if people keep making mistakes and we keep jumping on them, they're going to be so nervous, they're going to make some more mistakes. Sort of like my brother Curtis was teaching my brother Michael how to drive, and Michael got all tense and uptight, and Curtis said, relax, relax. Now, you ain't going to get folks to be like hollering at them. Is that right? You got to say, take it easy. It's going to be all right. You got to break it down. Is that right? He said, we come together this Sunday to do what? Read it, Brother Hill. What does it say?
And let us consider how we
let us consider how we
may spur one another on.
How can I? Let me see how I can encourage Jackie. Let me see how I can encourage Brother Wynn. Stay with it. Let me see how I can encourage Brother Jeremy. You're doing a good job. Make some room for it. Amen. Read the rest of that, Brother Hillary.
Toward love and good
deeds. In other words, encourage people to love people. Encourage people to engage in good works. You see, you don't build beautiful gardens by sitting back saying, oh, how beautiful. You build, Brother Harris is a lawn man, and he manicures those lawns. But you know how he manicures those lawns? Because he puts effort into it. You don't build a great life or a great church. And I read something the other day, and it really made sense. You know, sometimes we look at the big companies, and we say, well, how in the world did they make that big company? And they made it one customer at a time. That's how they did it. Build a great life, one great deed at a time. Might be a single step. Might be a small word of encouragement. Is that right? I don't build a great life by sitting back and saying, oh, what a great life. But my life can be so crowded. Somebody needs to encourage me. I need to encourage somebody to keep loving. Don't give up on me. Is that all right? Help me. And then finally, let me tell you this. Make room for truth. You gotta want truth in your life. You gotta have the attitude, I'm gonna follow truth wherever it leads me. And I know sometimes truth can hurt, but I need it. Amen. Is that right? That's why the wise man said, and oh, what he said. He said, and you know, it's a simple statement, but it is so profound. He said, buy the truth, but don't you sell it. Jesus said, you shall, and the truth shall set you free. Because let me tell you something, church, if we don't have room for the truth, listen, the only thing left are fables. Delusion. God, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, about verse 9 through 10, it says, with all deceivableness in them that perish, in that they receive not the love of the truth. And for this cause, God shall send them, watch this, a strong delusion, which literally means a working of error. If I don't want truth, the devil's lie is right there. Amen. I need somebody in my life who will tell me the truth. That right? And sometimes the truth is, you ain't doing so good. But I love you enough. Amen. But remember this. The Bible says if you see a brother or a sister that is overtaken in the fault, watch this. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness or meekness. Watch this. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That is, as I correct somebody, and that's tricky business, it takes skill to correct somebody. You got to know what you're doing. Hello? You know you're wrong, don't you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That'll fix it up pretty good, won't it? That'll get it straight, won't it? No, ma'am, and no, sir, because I don't want to be talked to like that. I want you to talk with me with some respect, some civility, courtesy, love, concern, all of those wonderful qualities. Can you say amen to that? And can't you say that's the way I would like to be treated? Amen? So in conclusion, I've tried to tell you about the fact that we need good in our lives. Don't have your life so crowded you don't have time for the good. Remember, the Savior of the world was born, and the world didn't have room. We sing in the song, Joy to the World. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Brother Sperling read in Luke chapter 14, there was a man who made a great supper and bade many. And after they invited everybody, Brother Wyatt, the sacred text says, and yet there was still room. Is that all right? Ain't it good to have enough room? Somebody coming from out of town, you say, yeah, we got room. Is that right? Or you're the sad feeling you've been traveling and you pull into a hotel and you want a room and say, we ain't got no room. Wouldn't that be sad and hurtful? You got to drive 100 more miles before you can get some room. Is that right? So we need to make room for the good things of life. And I'm closing now. I'm going to my seat. You know, sometimes I wonder, Sister Sperling, I sometimes wonder why bad things happen to good people. Oh, and sometimes I wonder why good things happen to bad people. But I do know that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Is that right? Oh, and I want to one day hear the Lord say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Is that right? You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many. Is that all right? Yes, I want to hear God tell me that. Well, one day, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, about verse number 17, that the rich young ruler came running to Jesus. And he said to him, good master. Didn't he call him good? He said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, why did you call me good? But I know one thing. I know Jesus is good. And I know Jesus is my master. Is that all right? And because he's my master, I'm going to follow him wherever he leads me. Is that all right? And because he's good, I can hear him saying that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. Is that all right? Healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. And because he did good, I hear him saying concerning his mission, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that all right? And I heard somebody say, I heard Brother Rutledge sing this morning. He said, I know the Lord will make a way for me. Is that all right? I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I shun, or if I stay in heaven's light, and if I do what's right, and I do what's good, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I want to ask the Lord to help me to get the bad things out of my life. Hello, y'all. Because guess what? All of us, got some bad stuff that we need to replace with some good stuff. Hello? I mean, it might just be some of just blessing folks out. Well, you know I got a sharp mouth. Well, maybe you need to change that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Say amen if you can. Is that all right? Lord, help me to get the bad things. And whatever I do, I want you to stand on your feet. Whatever, would you stand, please? Whatever I do, Lord, I need you. Thank you, Jesus, to help me. To help me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And I want to say to you, as I extend the Lord's invitation, don't have your life so crowded today. If you need to confess sin, your life is so crowded, and you know you need to do it, and you don't do it. I hope today that as we extend the Lord's invitation, that if you need prayer, that your mind is not just so crowded. You ain't got room to ask somebody to pray for you. I hope this morning that if you are lost in sin and you know you need salvation, your life is not just so crowded. Amen. That I don't have time to follow Christ. Amen. Let it not be said of you there was no room for me. All right. At the end, because without you, Lord, I just can't make it. But Brother Moss, my life has been cried up, but I want to give my life to Christ. How do I do it? You do it by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ, being immersed, baptized in water for the remission of your sin. That makes you a child of God. Right. Brother Moss, I find myself frustrated. How can I have more peace? By making room for peace. Amen. And then you can sing this song with new meaning. Without you, Lord. Oh, without you, Lord. I can't. Lord, I just can't make it. Oh, without you. Yeah, oh, without you, oh, without you, I know, I can't, Lord, I just can't make it, oh, without you, Lord.